June Pierce Hewitt is the Provost and Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs at Michigan State University. She's the Chief Academic Officer for MSU, providing leadership for matters that affect academic programs, research, and outreach involving faculty, students, and staff. One of her current projects is developing an arts strategy.
The MSU Arts Strategy exercise is really an opportunity to bring everyone on campus who's doing something in the arts and humanities together and talk about the identity of MSU through the arts and humanities and also the future. So in the last 10 years, when I think most people would agree resources have been tight and difficult decisions have had to be made, and where clearly the university has expanded in science with FRIB and new research buildings. At that same time, more quietly perhaps, the Performing Arts Center has been expanded. Performance spaces in Cook Hall and the old auditorium have been renovated. We have now the 10-year anniversary of our college, or residential college in the arts and humanities. We're looking at an expansion of the music school. There are just a number of these things. Obviously, the Broad Museum came on 5 years ago. And so there has been a good deal that has been going on around the arts and humanities. But because it's been perhaps more incremental as compared to a new research building, it has not been quite as elevated. So this is our opportunity to talk about that, but to think strategically about how, as I said, to create almost an identity of the arts and humanities on campus. We believe strongly that as we think about students over the next 10, 20 years, that the arts and humanities is an integral part of their MSU experience, that one of the things they need to think about or anticipate as they choose MSU is what kinds of a cultural experience they'll have here. And we think that's going to be increasingly important to students. And we know it's increasingly important to the way they understand the world. It always has been. But those lines between arts and science are getting more and more permeable. And so if we don't prepare students on that side, then they're not going to be as successful in their other areas. So this isn't about supporting good science or supporting business majors. It's really about creating an experience for students that is transformative. The other side of that is that we recognize the role of this campus in the community. We're fortunate to have all kinds of cultural opportunities, other artists, other musicians in our community, and they're all wonderful. But MSU is the big rock in that terrarium. And so we realize that the ways in which we step up in terms of our performing arts, our music, our theater, will make a difference to the quality of life to the community. So we're talking about that too.
Provost Hewitt and her team are pursuing multiple strategies for enhancing student success, focusing on retention, graduation, and achievement.
Well, we are making success in student success. We have just recently announced a slight increase in our six-year graduation rate. So one of the problems that most comprehensive public research universities have struggled with is the issue of disparity between graduation of majority and underrepresented students. Because everyone else suffers from it is not a reason to celebrate that we do too. But it is to say it's a problem that's common across the country, especially in Michigan, where we have real differences in the way schools are funded and the way students come prepared. So we have lots of students here who come from very wealthy school districts. They've had all kinds of opportunities. They've already studied abroad. They've had advanced placement classes. And then we have lots of students who are very bright that we admit who haven't had any of those opportunities. And particularly first-generation students who, again, have every capacity, who have ambition, drive, aspiration, but have not had the same opportunities. Some of those opportunities are just, you know, parents who knew how to guide them through opportunities, to channel their opportunities, to advocate for them in particular ways. And some of it is not being in an environment where that was part of the culture. So I've explained it to to folks, if you grew up in a family where your parents were from Burma and somebody sent you to Burma at 18 years old, you might struggle, but at least you have some sense of the place. If I dropped my children off in Burma at 18, they wouldn't have had a clue. And that's the same way with first-generation students who come to campus who have actually asked things like, don't we have classes all day? You mean we have to buy our books? I actually have to choose my classes. I mean, those are the challenges of first-gen students. So our six-year graduation rate has eked up from 78% to 79%, which means that about 600 additional students graduated, which is significant when you think about the lives of the families and the communities that will be affected by that. The great news is that the graduation rate for African-American students was 4% higher, Hispanic students 1% higher. So we're making first-generation students higher. So we're making an impact in the areas that, for us, seem the most important. We've always had smart students. We just didn't always understand how to best support those students. And the faculty have been amazing at jumping in and doing things in ways that is useful in terms of letting people know when students are having trouble. There's amazing curriculum revision going on across the campus, program changes that help students navigate more easily and quickly through programs. It's an all-campus effort, and it's beginning to pay off in real, very significant dividends. Our probation, first semester probation rate has gone down from what was typically 10% after the first semester to 7.5%. And students who finish their first semester in good standing are twice as likely to graduate as students who do not finish in the first semester in good standing. So a number of things all over campus, but it's making a difference. We're making sure that students who are recruited here and who meet our standards for admission are getting support they need to leave here as alums.
Hewitt oversees the quality of programs of instruction and research through collaborative work with deans, departmental chairs, and other vice presidents, addressing issues such as effective planning, good management, and program reviews.
So we have a number of dean searches this spring. It's sort of typical turnover with people retiring and some people leaving for other positions. So Lyman Briggs College of Natural Science, Veterinary Medicine, Osteomedicine, new director of libraries. All of those are opportunities, every one of them vacated by amazing people. But as we've hired deans over the last few years, it's been fun to see us build actually a leadership team. So we have great individual advocates for their college, all of them brilliant scholars, researchers in their own right. But we've been building a group that is highly collaborative. It's probably the most energetic, curious group of deans we've had in a really long time. They enjoy each other. They enjoy working together. And as I said, they have not only the interest of their college in mind every day, but they're very connected to our alums. They understand the importance to the students of connecting with those who have graduated from their colleges and who are successful. And they enjoy seeing ways that they can work together for the university. So that's what we're looking for in this crop.
MSU Provost Hewitt is excited about the university's initiative to ignite a passion for science, technology, engineering, art, and math in Detroit's young adults. It's called Science Gallery Lab Detroit.
Well, I think in a lot of ways, Science Gallery is an example of what a land-grant university and an outreach, in what outreach looks like in this next century. Not that it replaces the tried and true ways in which we've reached out to constituents around the state, but this is a really different way of doing it, of focusing on a particular audience, of being bold enough to identify new ways, new modalities to interact with young people. And it's a really interesting way to connect faculty on campus to communities. Faculty who don't see themselves as either outreach researchers, which we have many good ones, or who don't typically do work in communities. But this is really bringing their science and art into the community in ways that I think they haven't had an opportunity before. So for all of the things that we'll do for the community, for the young people that we hope to reach, it really does offer a new opportunity for our faculty to connect in ways they just haven't had before.
Find out more at Detroit.ScienceGallery.com. On the East Lansing campus, MSU is developing a new building to enhance STEM education.
We're increasingly changing the way we teach across the entire campus, but the places where we're seeing really radical change is in science and mathematics. Some of that is because of technology. I mean, if you can stand inside a virtual atom, a hologram of an atom, you understand an atom in ways you didn't understand before. So that's pushing us to think about how we teach and where we teach. So the new STEM building is intended to create spaces where innovative teaching can not just be done, but can develop. So the current idea is that the building will really be kind of a split building on each side of the old power plant. Somehow the old power plant seems like a good place to do science and mathematics. The old power plant will become both a passageway for students to go back and forth, but will also be student gathering space, innovation space, creative space for faculty and for students. A lot of open space, a lot of labs that don't look like traditional laboratories. This will be the first new teaching building on the campus that's strictly dedicated to teaching since the 60s. So it's hard to believe that some of those buildings, because we have done some renovations and we have tried to update, but this will be interesting to think about a new space for the next century or so of teaching. And so trying to make sure that we don't make decisions that limit our creativity. There's what we can do now, and then what we know we'll be able to do, or what we hope we'll be able to do in 20 years, and the space needs to accommodate both. So we might be a little uncomfortable when it opens, but I'm pretty sure the people who follow us in 40 years will thank us for it. Berkey Hall now, if you teach in Berkey Hall, and a lot of people have had courses in Berkey Hall, where there's 11 rows or 7 rows of 11 seats bolted down that you have to slide into. We don't want to do that for the next generation of faculty, so we're working hard to think about what this space will be.
Another initiative from Provost Hewitt's office involves helping students graduate in 4 years.
As part of student success, we've done analysis of a whole set of things that might be barriers, stumbling blocks, problems. So a very fundamental one is if students want to graduate in 4 years, they have to take 30 credits a year, more or less, right? But somehow it has to average over 4 years, 30 credits a year. While this seems fundamental, apparently it was not. And so there were students who, on the advice of parents or others, decided that they needed to, you know, sort of ease into college and maybe just take 12 credits or 13 credits. What we learned, to our surprise, because now we're able to do analysis that we haven't been able to do other than by hand at earlier times, is that once students started slow, they stayed slow. They didn't ramp up, as in general. So students who started with 13 credits wound up sort of taking 13 or 14, which meant they didn't finish in 4 years. So now we have an extra year school. We have not just the expense of not getting a job, the lost income, but another year of an East Lansing housing and so on. So we have been suggesting to students that they think about this 30 credit a year formula. It doesn't have to be 15 a semester, and there really are students who shouldn't take 15 for all kinds of reasons. But for the great majority of our students, they need to be thinking about how to do 30 a year, whether it's through an online summer class or a study abroad in the summer, if they don't want to do 15 fall and spring. But that 30 credits needs to be the goal per year, if students can do it. And again, we have some students we'd advise not to, but that's very few students for pretty specific reasons. One of the things that we found is, so if everyone took our good advice and everyone wanted to fully enroll in 15 credits of required courses that would move them toward degree, could they actually do it based on the courses we offer and the times that we offer? And the answer was, it would be hard. It would be hard because if you ask students when they'd like to go to class and you ask faculty when they'd like to teach, they look pretty much the same. They would like to teach, students would like to go to class 3-4 days a week, somewhere between 10 and 3. So you get your rest and you get your recreational time. Well, you really can't fit everything in between 10 and 3, Monday through Thursday. We know this, but we hadn't really dealt with it. So one of the things we are thinking about and experimenting with in this semester is whether or not we can take those two-hour classes that we're always on, or the four-credit classes that were on Tuesday and Thursday, and actually distribute that 4 hours of instruction across Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you can begin to do that, then it begins to allow students to have a more open schedule and to meet their needs. It, for some faculty, is disconcerting because if you think about 4 hours of instruction and splitting them in two, that's, and you're in that model for a while, that works. Thinking about now splitting it into three is a struggle for some people. We're also, students are going to have to get used to 8 o'clock classes, and faculty are going to have to respond to that need. I think it's been very easy not to teach at 8 because the student demand wasn't at 8. But if we're serious about helping students graduate in 4 years, and we have to be, the easiest way to reduce the cost of a college education is to reduce the time at college. And since we know that 4 years is, at least we've believed this for 100 years, that 4 years is an adequate amount of time to complete a Bachelor of Science or a Bachelor of Arts degree, then we need to do everything we can to make sure that students have the opportunity to do that. And again, there's responsibility here on both sides. We need to create a system that makes it easy, but we do have to inspire students and their families to understand that stepping up and doing the 30 credits a year and creating a schedule that supports academic progress is the goal.
How has earning a degree from MSU changed over the years? In Provost Hewitt's view, it's MSU paying close attention to the student experience and what kind of Spartans they are after graduation.
When I consider what a student's experience is at MSU now and what it was at an earlier time, we won't pick the earlier time, but I think we as a university are much more deliberate now about thinking what we want the student experience to be and what we hope students look like on the other side of this experience. So thinking about student success is part of it. Thinking about what their life is like the first year here and what kinds of experiences we want them to have. Trying to define what a Spartan is part of this. You know, what is a Spartan? How do you leave here with a sense of your responsibility to your community, to your world? How do you understand the ways in which what you have learned can be useful, not just in providing for yourself and your own family, but for other people around you? What are your values around taking care of the planet and other people? How do you leave here respecting and enjoying the diversity of our country and the world? Because these students are going to work around the world. They are not going to spend their entire lives in one company in Michigan, and we know that. So that's what we think about now, and those are the kinds of experiences we're trying to build in when we talk about the arts and culture. We talk about the first year experience. We talk about some of the things that are happening with technology and how we're making sure that students leave here ready for a first job. All of that is thinking about how to really create an experience at Michigan State University on this campus that transforms a young person into a contributing, responsible adult that cares about other people, that cares about their environment, and cares about this university. Because this place, in so many ways, I have said before that I think if you leave here successfully, then you've kind of signed this invisible covenant, because someone before you made sure you had this opportunity. So now don't you have a responsibility to make sure someone else has the responsibility or has the opportunity? So I want people to leave here feeling like they are a Spartan for life. I don't want them, you know, wherever they go to graduate school, wherever they move around the globe, I want them to, and I've had people say to me just recently, a retired gentleman in Austin, Texas, who came here from Detroit when he was a young man, and he wanted to meet me. And when we sat down and talked, he said, I just wanted to tell you about what life was like for me at Michigan State University. He was here 8 years as an undergraduate because it took him that long to work to pay his tuition. He said, MSU saved my life. And then he talked about that. And I don't know that MSU saved his life, but it certainly helped create a man who has gone on to maybe save the lives of a lot of other people. So that's who we want our students to be when they grow up, and our job is to help them get there.
Stay in touch with Michigan State University Provost June Pierce Hewitt at provost.msu.edu. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.